Hey listeners, we're in the heat of one of the greatest sports events of the year. You guessed it, March Madness. And the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage? CBS Sports HQ. What is CBS Sports HQ? It is the free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It is always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
Unformidable, a podcast where every week we're going to take a look back at a less heralded or sometimes even obscure player in Mets history and journey back into that player's era in franchise history, perhaps tying it in with the current day Mets or just taking a fond journey back into our beloved franchise's history. Now, I decided to try and start the podcast something that could have a slightly optimistic note. Optimism is not always my strong point as a Mets fan, but I thought I should at least try and start that way. So I chose someone who played a decent role in a season. Obviously, we'd like a little more, but it'd be okay if this season turned out a little like 1999. All this player's fun trivia. If you look back at 1999, who started game one of each Met playoff round in 1999 and also happened to start one of the most memorable games in Met history, the Grand Slam single game? The answer to that question is Masato Yoshii. I actually thought of Masato a bit this offseason in the context of watching the Mets pass on all of the Bryce Harper's and Manny Machado's of the world, as I remember the Mets signing him in the 1997 offseason, where, you know, free agents such as Kenny Lofton and Brady Anderson were the big names in the free agent market, and particularly the following offseason, 1998, when you had, I think, Kevin Brown, Randy Johnson, players like that were free agents, and yeah, obviously the Mets added Leiter and Piazza via trade, but just seemed to have that reluctance to make big splurges in the free agent market. No, the Mets splurge in the free agent market was a player they tried to pawn off on us by calling him the Japanese Greg Maddux, where the only thing Masato Yoshii had in common with Greg Maddux was a non-overpowering fastball. But other than that, the analogy didn't really hold up. I guess I would be remiss in not noting, though, that looking back at the 97 offseason free agents, the Mets may have made the best free agent signing of all by retaining their own player that offseason, John Olerud, who signed a two-year, $8 million contract to put up, I think, 7.6 and 5.6 BWAR those two seasons, and then breaking my heart when he left after the 99 season. But I digress. This podcast is not supposed to be about Mets who break our hearts when they leave. This is supposed to be about our less heralded Mets, and in this case, Mr. Yoshii. So Masato is a quintessential Met free agent signing. Bargain basement, 2 years, $4 million. And again, you know, they kind of, I remember them heralding this 33-year-old pitcher who, you know, fared well, but certainly was not, you know, Hideo Nomo or Masahiro Tanaka coming over as the Japanese Greg Maddux. But, you know, again, with these mediocre numbers in the Japanese league. And he was going to be an addition, the addition to our pitching staff to complement, you know, Al Leiter, Rick Reed, you know, a 97 team that barely missed the playoffs. He was supposed to be, He was basically the big pitching free agent addition that off season. So I'll admit, I guess I didn't have the fondest memories. I don't remember disliking him, but just remember feeling underwhelmed by the signing. And a quick glance at his numbers in the 2 years with the Mets backed that up a little bit, I thought at first. In 1998, his first year, he went 6-8 with a 3.93 ERA, 4.47 FIP, and a 1.276 WHIP, 6-8 record. Then in the 99 playoff season, he recorded a 12-8 record with a less auspicious 4.40 ERA and 1.299 WHIP. He walked 53 and 58 batters and 171 and 174 innings, so that Maddox-like control was not here, at least in the American baseball leagues. But his ERA plus was actually 107 in 98 and 101 in 99, and that translated to a 2.4 and a 2.1 WAR, according to Baseball Reference, in 98 and 99, respectively. Kind of surprised me at first, but then looking back, that was kind of the heart of the steroid era. So, I pulled up the league average ERA in 1998 was 4.43, and in 1999 that shot up to 4.71. So, actually he was very much the quintessential, I think, even though he was a rookie in 1998, an innings eater, a veteran rookie innings eater, just much svelter and less entertaining than Bartolo Colon. But certainly his the most memorable games that Yoshi started with the Mets were those 1999 playoff games. So when the 99 team barely snuck into the playoffs, winning the last games of the season, behind Rick Reed, and then having Al Leiter start the one-game playoff in Cincinnati, that lined up Masato Yoshi to start Game One of the NLDS in Arizona. And yes, a Yoshi Randy Johnson matchup to start Game One of a playoff series did not seem to augur well for our beloved Mets. But Edgardo Alfonso took Randy Johnson deep early. Yoshi did give up the tying runs in the sixth and out the game at four, but the Mets did win that game on a second grand slam by Edgardo Alfonso in the ninth inning. And when the Mets closed out the Diamondbacks in four games, that once again set up Masato Yoshi to start game one of the NLCS. Unfortunately, he was outdueled by the American Greg Maddux in game one of the series. The Mets quickly found themselves in a three games to none hole that they were, of course, unable to completely pull themselves out of, but they certainly strived to mightily. So when the Mets pulled out game four, then Yoshi and Maddux met up again in game five, which had become the Grand Slam single game. I scored myself some quality cheap tickets to that game when the Mets fell behind three games to none in the series, and still remember sitting in the steady rain with my fitted hat that shrank a whole size and never fit again after that game. Greg Maddux gave up a homer to John Olerud in the bottom of the first, spotting the Mets a 2-0 lead. And Yoshi, unfortunately, could only get through three innings. He allowed the first four runners to reach. Chipper Jones doubled in a run. Brian Jordan singled in a run. Then he walked Ryan Klesko to tie the game at two, where it would remain tied for 11 more innings. And Yoshi left the game at that point. Oral Hershiser came in and bailed him out. And if you told 10-year-old me there would ever be a scenario where I'd be cheering Oral Hershiser wildly, I would have thought you were crazy, but such is baseball sometimes.
Get your brackets ready. March Madness is here, and the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage? CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is a free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered by cutting through the noise of hot takes and fake debates to get smart analysis and helpful highlights for your fantasy teams and beyond. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It's always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
We're the hosts of Switched on Pop, a podcast where Charlie and I break down pop hits to reveal how the music works and why it matters.
It's our job to help you find those aha moments within the music. Whether you're a pop fanatic or a skeptic,
a teenager or an octogenarian,
non-musician or professional composer, every music lover will discover something ear-opening in Switched on Pop.
Yeah, and we think you'll have a lot of fun with us because you're going to get to hear from amazing guest musicians, songwriters, producers, and journalists. Listen to Switched on Pop every week starting in March on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It would turn out that Ryan Klesko would be the last batter Masato Yoshi would face in a Met uniform in that Game 5 and that Grand Slam single game. I think we all know how joyously that particular game ended and how, unfortunately, the series ended in Game 6. But while we're still journeying with the Mets, waiting for that next world championship, this was the end of Masato Yoshi's journey as a New York Met. Yoshi was traded in the offseason to the Colorado Rockies for two minor leaguers. I don't want to say too much more about that, because one of them is another potential unformidable Met. But it turned out the thin Colorado air was not the best landing spot for a soft-tossing fastball changeup righty. In his 1 year in Colorado, Yoshi went 6-15 with a 5.86 ERA, allowing 201 hits over 167 innings, striking out only 88 and walking 53 in a pretty rough season, although he did hit his only career major league home run in Colorado, so perhaps that softened the blow a smidge. Yoshi was released by the Rockies after the 2000 season and spent his last two major league seasons in Montreal with the Expos as a spot starter, long reliever, making 73 appearances with the Expos, 31 starts over those two seasons in his year age 36 and 37 seasons, which would be his last two in American baseball. Well, in Canada, but in the major leagues. Overall, Yoshi finished his major league career with a 32-47 record, 4.62 ERA, 6.7 WAR over five seasons, according to Baseball Reference. And obviously, unlike a lot of the people I would guess that we'll be visiting in this podcast, had his best years as a New York Met, where he was 18-16 with a 4.17 ERA. Yoshi had shoulder surgery after the 2002 season and then returned to Japan starting for the 2003 season, joining the Oryx Blue Wave, where he pitched from 2003 to 2007, and in what I think is a nice little coda to the Met-centric story that this is, basically finished his career. His career ended when he was demoted in 2007 from being a starter to a reliever by his then-manager Terry Collins, after several poor performances for Oryx. Yoshi requested a trade or release, and he was traded to the Chiba Latte Marines. I guess Terry was actually right for once, that the 42-year-old Yoshi was done. He made four starts for the Chiba Latte, putting up a 13.14 ERA, and then retired. Currently a pitching coach for those Chiba Latte Marines, the now 53-year-old Yoshi pitched professionally for 23 years, 18 in Japan, 5 in the majors, and is coached for 10 more, a true baseball lifer. But of those 33 years, only two of them, at least from the Met fans' perspective, were truly unfermentable. Thank you for joining us for this little jaunt down memory lane with the Mets and Masato Yoshi. We hope you'll join us again here next week and every week for a look at the murky and the magical in our Mets history. Thanks for listening to Unformidable. Please visit AmazonAvenue.com for more Mets-related content. Follow Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue, where you can find this on all of our podcasts and all of our wonderful written content. And please follow me on Twitter at WolfRR, WOLFFRR. And as always, let's go Mets.